pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we have come to thy holy word. And O Lord, we pray that thy grace will be with us, and that we may know the way of salvation, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be made clear, even in such passages that warn. Come therefore and bless us now, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Savior, and for his sake. Amen. Job 22, verse 15 to 17. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood, which said unto God, Depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? And our title is The Old Way of Sinners. Kwenda da diboniafu nyinara enamso. Alright, the old way of sinners. And that unique text in verse 15, has thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden? Right. Before we look into it, just a few introductory material. I'm sure you know Job is the oldest book of the Bible. Job ni buka eye old in the Bible. And we say it is so because Job was a man who lived, and he's not only mentioned in the book of Job, but he's mentioned elsewhere in Ezekiel, in the book of James, and in other parts of scripture. So he was a real man. But Job predated Abraham. Job etnasa says ansana yawo Abraham kra. And so that's why we say it is the oldest book. Of course, Genesis records what happened at the beginning. Genesis was written by Moses by inspiration. Moses Netroy. And Moses himself was born hundreds of years before and after Job and Abraham. And so we say here is a wonderful book and the lessons to be learned here. What is the book all about? The book of Job answers the question, why the righteous suffer? Or why would God test the righteous? Ninti anyan kupon eso wana mwenye jidi fuo esheno buku no eka sa adieno emunsam. And so Job, we are told, was very rich and wealthy, and instigated, I would say, by Satan, the Lord withdrew his protection, and Job had a whole lot of misfortunes. Job ni how ni na mani no be brave upon some e ka so be ye na nyankopon e ma no ho kwan sara nti ohu oshia no me be brave. And he himself was afflicted with this disease all over his body. On one case, so yari abo no e fri ni ti kopen na nyara a aye ti se pompo a e so no nsuo a aye din a aye ye ye a odi eyi twitwi. He used to scratch it all. So he was in his misery. And we are told three friends came to sympathize with him. When they came, it was not a matter of comfort. Why? Because they could not understand that the sufferings of Job was allowed by God. Like all of us, they thought that there is always a cause for anything. Omadriani said, "The BABCBR cause or India emanibano, and in particular in Africa, that's what we believe, isn't it? Nothing happens, as we say, by heart." by whatever providence or whatever it is. Everything must have a cause. So yes, they could not. And so they thought that the sufferings of Job was as a result of his own sin. And Omwa Dwerani said, Job, na mani huno huni narano efri onwani bonia or ye etia nyankupon. In many ways that is true. Because sin, my dear friends, is the cause of everything that is evil and mischievous in the world. Say yebeka, I am quite true though. Say boni ni bibia wo viasimwa enye ayenim aye bonino. Alright. Boni na eye ashase. Because Adam fell, therefore sin is passed and wickedness came into all the world and all the evil things have happened to men ever since. So in a sense it is true. And in a sense I can also say this. And I think I put myself in this picture. Sometimes we suffer a lot because of what we do. Because of sin. We suffer the consequences of our sin. But and sometimes it even affects our children and affects our families. And it goes on. And so yes, it is true that some of these things could be. But that is half truth. Because in the life of Job, God himself called Job a righteous man, a perfect man. Therefore, his sufferings was not really as a result of his sin. But in this passage, you find Eliphaz almost accusing Job of everything. Usha niyekin kenyi nara. Upose Eliphaz or kansam etia Job. When you may be brimo. Look at verse 5. Is not thy wickedness great? And thy iniquity is infinite. No, he was telling Job. For thou hast taken bread from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to the drink. You know, trying to show that Job was or stands accused for all of these things. Job, well, of course, let's jump to our text. One of the things he said, which is really profound, is the verse 15. And we may have to apply that. Hast thou marked the old way which the wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overthrown with a flood, which said unto God, depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? One of the things that Eliphaz is saying here, which to Job is not true, but to you and me, and to every sinner, it is very true, is exactly what it is here. Has thou marked the old way? That word marked means observe. Have you taken note? Have you observed to note what happened? And what was he talking about? Look at verse 16, which, were cut down of time, whose foundation was overthrown with a flood. So he was referring to the days before the flood. Eliphaz, ni sema oka no, na oka atre insema esiye ansana. Ananyuma nipa yeye ansana onyankupon ese yase ene flood na anase nsiono. And so he mentioned that, the old way. Kwa indadano, the old way, the old way. And my dear friends, it's something you and I need to ponder. Nyoma and nine and a pesi eshen is siara or America kra a day in Nimwe. Just about four things. We should talk about the way before the flood. And we shall talk about the walk even during the flood or before the flood. And we shall talk about the witness during the time of the flood. And we shall talk about the warning. The warning. The warning. Kokobo ewohonumu. Alright? Emma sa is semi ewohonumu. Now, fact is, remember I said from the beginning, Job lived in those times before Abraham, and therefore the account of the flood, which had gone on, has been fresh in the minds of so many people. You may see, you know, was her emre no suono. And son, I babu Abraham, no, and Murad, Yogu, and in a lamp of way at Nasa say so. No, then you see, yeah, we are in Yakupo say we are seno. Those things are fresh in the minds. Now, imagine that's what he was referring to. And he called that the old way which wicked men have what? Have trodden. The old way which wicked men have trodden. And that, my dear friends, is where we start. What is that old way which wicked men have trodden? Dear Nisa, kwaida dana, ni papone fuono, eyedeng, enante suono. What are those? Well, let me just take you to just two or three passages of scripture given to us by God and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Genesis chapter 6 and to verse 5 and then verse 11 to 13. Genesis chapter 6 to verse 5, we read these words that the Lord himself spoke concerning the times, the people of that day before the flood. So verse 5, Genesis 6 verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Then look at verse 11, Genesis 6 from verse 11 to 13. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. It is his own testimony about the time. This is not any preacher saying it. It is God himself who said these things. Now, let me take you to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ also. Luke chapter 17, and then we read those verses 26 and 27. Verses 26 and 27. Let's read these words. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And so, yes, this is Jesus is also testimony about what happened in that day. Now, when you put it all together, how do we know? How can we describe that old way which those wicked men walked upon? Well, we could say it was a way of rebellion. For instance, rebellion. And again, our dear friend Spurgeon have something to say about this. And he says, quote, sin is a defiance of divine authority. You see, sin is a defiance of divine authority. It is challenging God. It is like to say, all right, and whether you like it or not, I will not serve you. I will do my own thing. I will go my own way. It is like throwing a challenge to the Lord. Just like Pharaoh would say, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I must obey his voice? That's what it is. It is challenging the Lord. And my dear friends, that is what it is today with many people. It's an old way because in many ways and in many things, it is the same old way today. It's the old way of rebellion, of standing up against God. Now, I don't want to spend too much time, but there is another thing. Selfishness was that which marked those days. Just a person in Kuminya, Eyemia, Yehuno Osa, Emrenuswa. It was real selfishness. every aspect of self, every sin self, all right, self-love, self-indulgence, self-independence, everything about self, whether it is to just for the benefit of the person, the individual, that's what it is. It was that which marked the old way. There is also a third, and I'm sure you know what it is. It is pride. Alma soul. You know what Cain did? Unumia Cain, yeah. You know when Cain, in Genesis chapter 4, killed his brother? Niniano. You know, God told him, you know, sin lieth at your door. It shall rule over you. Cain was unrepentant. He felt so proud about himself. And he wanted to do his own thing. And so you notice that God gave him an opportunity, which he never took. If thou doest right, is it? Will it not be what? Accepted. That's all. And yet Cain will not do it up to the time before he killed his own brother. And so you see pride in the heart of many people. And you read the book of Genesis from chapters 4 to chapter 6, and you see pride flowing through. Pride in a man called Lamech and many other people who live in those days and the things they did against God. And then we could also see that in those days there was just crass worldliness. We are said dull, and Jesus mentioned it there in Luke's Gospel chapter 17. It has to do with just everything about this life, enjoyment. I'm all for enjoy, just like that. Marrying, and of course Jesus is not saying that it is wrong to marry or to give somebody in marriage. That's not Jesus. But he said that became the chief thing in those days. And everything was done along those lines. Worldliness came in. And my dear friends, I keep saying these things. Some of us are getting a bit more worried about what is going on. Even in some Baptist churches where you find good Christian people who want to get married, and then the whole ceremony becomes a worldly kind of thing. When they begin to play music of the world people, some things like that. You know, so many things. Worldliness. And I keep asking myself, why can't Christians, if you're a true Christian, why can't you stand up or out so that people will know where you stand? You know, why can't you? Joseph was in an environment of ungodly people. Joseph, he was surrounded by Pharaoh and all their idols and all of those things in Egypt. And yet Joseph, showed a witness. He stood alone. He was clear. And his holiness and righteousness shined out. And so it was. Daniel Muninara, you know, he lived in Babylon. And yet, the world never affected him. But oh, now, even in Christendom, all of these things are coming in. And it's like now an accepted thing, or accepted way of doing things. And so you have these penis who will be tuning to the disc jockeying and do all kinds of things. My dear friends, we should be very careful. In those days, there was that kind of worldliness. And oh, you can imagine that there would be such. Why? You ask me why? Because in those days, people don't just die. Samreno, people live longer. So people could live over 100 years, 200 years, 300 years. You can imagine Methuselah, 969 years. Almost 1,000 years. So death was not common. And so you have so many people living in the world, continuing in the old way of worldliness, and doing all kinds of things. And in those days, these things were there. And we see there was carelessness also in those days. People didn't care. I mentioned Cain, for instance. He didn't care the order God has given. And she said, he didn't care about it. He went and did his own thing. God has shown a way to worship. It must be by blood sacrifice. And yet, he will not do that. He will do his own thing. And he was quite careless about it. And you know, the same we find later on many years in the life of Esau also. And we are told in the book of Hebrews that Esau was profane. That was the word that was used. Profane Esau. Careless. The spiritual things don't seem to matter to him. It is the same old way today, friends, and in many ways. You know, let me also touch on one more thing. Here, we have unbelief in those days. So many people were unbelieving in those days. People never, ever believed in God. Only a few believed. And those few, their lives stood out. Those few people, their lives stood out, and stood out in great measure. And so, my dear friends, it is with us, and we mention and talk about these things. Unbelief, even in our day. Now we may claim we know the Lord, but we could still be unbelieving. That was the way I could just bring to your mind and describe to you. But it was a way, secondly, that was walked upon. I'm off on 90. I was crying up as swore. So, what kind of way was it? Well, it was, number one, a natural way. What we mean by natural way? Because ever since man fell, the natural aspect of man is to walk in ways opposite or contrary to God. Adam, it is a natural way. That's the way. The way of the old way is actually a natural way. It was that which everyone does. And it is so today, it's so natural to be hateful, isn't it? It's so natural to be envious. It is so natural to be greedy. It is natural to be covetous. It is natural to kill and murder. It is natural to be promiscuous. It is natural to man to sin. Natural to us. It is like what? Second nature. I remember I was reading a certain philosophical book. Sorry to bring in this. But the writer was trying to contest the statement that practice makes perfect. And he said something to this effect. He said, practice does not make perfect. It makes permanent. Makes permanent. Now, what does that mean? So it struck me. Let me read. What does it mean? Practice makes permanent. Then he went on to illustrate. He said, when you are learning to drive, one of the very first things is that you become conscious of what you are doing. So, driving now. You become very conscious. So you might even be looking at your feet as you try to what? Step on the brake or the clutch or whatever, and looking at it. So you are like, you know, very conscious and everything. But he says it gets to a point when you have gone through a whole lot of driving, stepping on the brakes or accelerator or whatever it is becomes second nature to you. It becomes permanent. It becomes ingrained in you. I bet you say, so the moment you see natural, I mean, you just shift the gears and you go on. It becomes natural. Well, that is his mind. That is his permanent idea and his philosophy. My dear friends, my point is this. Sinning is quite natural. It's second nature to us. And not in that, David the Kain said, that was Psalm 51, he said, behold, I was shaping iniquity, and in sin did my mother what? Conceive me. So, and one thing that David Nakaiwa, Psalm 58 said, yeah, alright, they start speaking lies from the womb. And throw not already, no, not yet, Canada, right from the womb. And we see that. And I keep telling you that even babies are not dumb. Who baby, who are called, they are not dumb. They know. Only shed that power would, if you know what it is in their head, you might be, oh, you might think of babies, things like, no. If they want attention, they will cry. Whatever they will do to get your attention, they will. It's there in them. It's natural. It's second nature. And my dear friends, that is how we are. That is the way that we walk upon, a natural way. It is also, number two, an easy way. It's not just natural to us, but it is so easy. And yet, dear mind, it's easy because, you know, my dear friends, think about the opposite. Let's take the way of holiness. It's not easy to be holy, is it? It's not easy to be righteous. It is not easy to do good. It is not even easy to forgive. And yeah, we say we forgive, but we cannot forget. In a sense, it is true. We can say we forgive, but we will not forget, isn't it? And sometimes we couch some beautiful proverbs by saying that kapo mufwe kabuda ona ni kona tsam matamino fi o chioi chiobili. So it's there in your mind. So doing good is not easy to us. Doing evil is an easy way, very easy way. And it comes to us, as I said, a natural, easy way. Sinning is so easy to sin. Staying holy is so difficult. All right? And that's how the way, the old way, also can be talked about. It is also, thirdly, a broad way. Tetre, all right? It's a broad way. That's why Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew and in Luke, that broad is the way that leadeth to what? Destruction. And many there be that go in. That's the way. The way is broad. And the beer and I'm sore and the echo. And sometimes when I'm preaching from these, I try to point it out to you that we ought to be careful about joining people and saying that it is what everybody does. Because that's one of the things I'm going to mention about this broad way. It is simply a fashionable way. Okay? Not just broad, but also fashionable way. It is a popular way. Everything everybody is doing, that's what we do. It's the old way of looking at things and doing things, especially in spiritual things and in spiritual ways. It is popular and it is broad and it is quite fashionable for us. You know, again, sorry, let me quote to you again, C.H. Spurgeon, Nasembi Okae, and he says this, very interesting. I see, the road of sin is so wide that it has room for rebels, for selfish sinners, for proud sinners, for professors of religion, for infidels, for the worldly, and for the hypocrite. Broad way, fashionable, everything. And that's why sometimes I want to warn some believers to think about it. Don't think that this is what every church is doing, therefore we must do same. It's a broad way. There are people who have come and said, throw away the hymns. Go for the clap, clap, happy. And enjoy yourself. That is what everybody is doing. That's a broad way. That's a corruption of worship. That is not right. And so it's not like, no, it's an old way. It's a broad way. It's an entertainment way. It's a theater performing arts way. That's what it is. I was listening to excerpts of so-called Adum praise. And I just have to let it go at a point. My dear friends, you gather people. When you're a crowd, no? I wish I was called to preach the gospel. Abey! Tis a nipple go on ayaba. That they needed the word. The gospel. Now wakofa Hamilton. Wakofa we near to near sa near boy and why I don't know. Is that all? Oh my dear friends. That's a Broadway. It's so popular. It's so fashionable. It embraces everybody. It takes everybody in. It's an easy way. It's a natural way. And to be hard to me, be. So it was, friends. Footballers crowd, mutual muti, rough. As some of them are involved in Ocos, not their crowd, they can sing and clap and say, you sing these choruses. All right? And all of those things. My dear friends, that's not what the church stands for. The church stands for holiness and righteousness and all. And let me also say one or more two things here. This way we are talking about is a most dangerous way. Very hurtful. You know what happens in this part of the world. Whenever there's the traffic lights are off, what do you have? Survivor for the fittest, isn't it? Say, yeah, oh, can we share and now car? Now do baby lights no echo off now. Oh. What happens? Obi then. And you see people taking advantage. With just more space. No, they need to room. Mumpoye, kipik, that kind of thing. It's survival for the fittest. Now, let me tell you, sometimes I enjoy it. You know, because as I said, it is for only an immediate thing. Oh, you need to come. Because, oh, yeah, me always throw the app. Mm-hmm. I was not going to tell you. But, that's what it is. But you know, my dear friend, it's a dangerous way. It's a hurtful way. That's what it is. In the world, you might think there's freedom to do whatever you want to do. There's permissiveness. And all kind of things. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what the church says. I will do my own thing. You may think you are free, but you are really a slave. And what happens is it, you are at risk than ever before. You are in danger. The danger of your soul is there. Your very life, your very existence is there, my dear friends. There's a dangerous way. That's why you could end your life anytime, any day. Just like that. Just happens. You just die. That's all. You're gone. It's a dangerous way. And now, because the world is coming to an end, we are seeing it is even more dangerous. Nothing the Bible will say. In the last days, what? Perilous times. Dangerous times shall come. Nothing the Bible will say. Come on, Ephesians. Redeeming the time. For the days are what? Evil. Evil days, friends. It's because men walk on such evil paths. But my third major point in this whole passage here has to do with talking about the old way and the way it was walked upon. But I can tell you, my dear friends, that there was a witness, even as it was in those days. There is a witness. Eliphaz was speaking, isn't it? Eliphaz, no, can say. He mentioned the flood. Before the flood, we just read what God said, that men are corrupt and evil. And every imagination of their heart is what? Evil continually. So it is. That's what it is, my dear friends. And that's what we see. Now, but do you know there was a witness? Unum said, Samrena ye kano a eyemre boni a de boni ye fuone nam samrene sa kwaino suono. Eyemre suwa nyankupon da ni hui di. Wat na dansi di, ewa nipa bebre mo. When you go to the book of Hebrews 11, and it begins to mention the faith, the heroes of faith, who did it begin with? Genesis chapter 4, Abel. It started with Abel. By faith, let me read you that passage in Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll look at that text so nice. We'll be coming back and forth here. Hebrews 11, Hebrews 4, we'll manage to be back on. Right? Not what it says here. Who does it begin with? When are we starting here? Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Note, it was not giving money. There are some people who teach that for a born Abel boy alone, there is God. No, not God. By which he obtained witness, as he did, that he was what? Righteous. God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. The example of Cain, Abel, was there. Abel, or through Abel, somebody must prove it and show it to the world. It was a witness. And so it was. Let me just move on quickly. Do you know also that one of the people mentioned in the book of Hebrews 11 comes from Genesis chapter 5, Enoch? Enoch, we are told in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 to 24, Enoch was them. Now back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this what? Testimony, witness that he did what? Pleased God. So my point is this, and I don't want to belabor the point. Even in those days, there was a witness. Some died, like Abel. Enoch was what? Translated. But before that, before God took him to heaven, alright, he had this testimony that what? He pleased God. In other words, now, I'll put it to you to go and search. How many years did Enoch live? How many years? So I'll leave it to you to check in Genesis 5. Alright? Every year of that man's life was a year that was set apart to please God. He pleased God. It was a testimony. It was a witness to the Lord, even about these things. In fact, when he said, Jude, the book of Jude, let's turn to Jude. Jude is before Revelation. All right? Let's turn to Jude. And Jude chapter 1, it's only one chapter. And look at verse 14. Jude 1, 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, please note, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch was a preacher also. There was a witness. And the witness is very clear. Now, Emirinti, before that, there was also Methuselah. Why do you think God preserved Methuselah for 969 years? Why? Why? Some people, 300 and something they died, some 500 and something they died and all, but why was Methuselah preserved for 969? When we say, and now Methuselah, so, and a Messiah, and a baby. It's part of God's plan. So there was a witness. And so it was. Now, time will fail me. But let me pick up one more on him. Noah. Back to Genesis 6. God spoke about Noah. We are told in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Genesis 6 and verse 8. And that is what it is. Noah was a witness for God, even in those times before the flood. Now, my point is this. There's an old way. The old way. And many walked on that old way. But there was a witness against that old way. And our witness was these men, some of whom I have mentioned here. When Amabumudin, they were preachers, Enoch was one, and we are told Noah was a preacher of what? Righteousness. And so it was, my dear friends. It could be, as we speak now, there is still a witness. Because God will never leave himself without a witness in the world. May I make it personal? Even in the church, there are others who may not take things seriously. They hold someone, and they become a witness. They are like examples. They are like models for you to follow. Something you look at, and God will keep them. They are lights. That's what they are. Can I also make it further? Do you know that in some families also, there could be God takes maybe one or two or three out of the whole family and makes them what? His witness. His lights to rebuke the others, to show their mind, to bring them to back to what it is right. God does that, friends. Do you know that even in nations or in a nation, there could be like that light also, witness. And so when you take all the things that we're talking about, if you take all the things that we are saying about this world and the wickedness of it, do you know God could still preserve people to be a witness? You know, somebody told me that the way the world is going, there's no virgin. And I told him, I believe in my church, I have virgins. And as a sophomore, and a baby, and zebra. All right. How do I know these are virgins? I don't know. I don't see. But I believe there are virgins. You know why? God will be set apart. Their faith will be set apart. They will be like an example to others. Can I live in this world a holy life? Yes, God will say, look in this life, look into that person, look at that. Can I live without the influence of the world upon me? Yes, this is a witness. And so that's why Jesus say we are like, in the book of Malachi, we are like jewels. Jewels for God. Because we are set apart for him. And then that Christo can say, ye are the lights of the world. You see it? In this wicked world, in this ungodly world, in this world where the old way is taking over, still there will be a witness. There will be light. There will be light also because, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ will always be there. People will believe, friends. Even if the majority are not or will not believe, but still a few will believe. And it's not Christ will come by the narrow way. Few will find it, isn't it? They will go on. And one of the Puritans has this beautiful illustration. He said, descending is easy. Climbing up is hard. Heaven is high. Going to heaven is hard. But still, people will make it to heaven. The snail, we are told, and this is one of the quotes from Spurgeon, the snail, by perseverance, reached the ark. You see the point? The snail, why? By perseverance, reached what? The ark, and was saved. And so it could be, friend. No matter what it is, sometimes when we preach these things, people begin to say, oh no, but you know, Pastor, it's not going to be possible. I look in the way our life is. No, this now dear things are, oh, it can be possible. Can you live a holy life? Yes. Because His Spirit can fill you. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, can give you new life and give you fresh impetus every day to live for Him. It's possible, friends. Very possible. Because God will not own every age. God has His people. He has those who will be His witness. And the days before the flood, there are days. And how do we know that it was so broadway that many people perished? Well, we know it because the Bible says only 8 souls were saved. Can you imagine? 8. We don't know the number of the people who lived then. But if there were even 500,000 or 1 million or 2 or 3 or 10 million or 1 billion, only 8 were saved. What happened to the rest? They walked on that old way. They despised God. They did not love God. Yet those people whom God chose in those times were people, He records their names in Hebrews 11 as what? Heroes of faith. It's possible, friend. The witness is there. But there is a warning. Let's read the text again. Job 22, verse 15 and 17. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overthrown with a flood, which said unto God, depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? Oh, my dear friend, here is a warning. The warning begins in verse 15. Hast thou marked the old way? Have you observed? Have you made a study of? Have you given regard to these things? Now, in Emre Muno said, we read it glibly or superficially. You can fast, maybe. But think about it. Put yourself in there. Think about when it all came down and the waters and the fountains were broken and it started to rain and then the waters were coming up. Think about it. Think about it. I had information that 3 days ago, it rained so much so that for decades they have never seen such a flood. And I was telling my brother-in-law that here in Accra, we pray hard against the rain. We pray hard. Hard. Because people don't want it to rain. And I said, if it rains and it floods, and you are among those who are flooded, then you understand. Some people do their thing, that thing, and they tie it in a black rubber. And they put it in the gutter. Eh? And then when it is raining, then they pour the rubbish in there. And then, so imagine your room flooded with all this rubbish flowing. And imagine what happens to you. Right, my dear friends? You know, anytime there's a flood, people die. And I'm told some people die. And here in Accra, we all know Accra is a low-lying place or city. And because it looks like, because we are near the sea, all the up water coming comes around. So you know what? Flooding comes. But put yourself in there. Flooded. One man, I saw him standing on his bed. And because he can't step in the water. The water has come almost to the level of his bed. Think about it. put yourself in there. Here is a warning. Have you marked, observed? Has it crossed your mind? Has it ever happened that to you? Have you ever thought about it? That if it happens to me, if the Lord is destroying today, where would I be? Where would my soul be? It begins with observation. Sometimes we then learn from history. History is a subject, when you're in school, many people hate. People don't like it. But older men or Asians will tell you, those who never learned from history would always repeat it. They will always repeat it. And this is the idea, friends. Hast thou marked? Have you observed? I wanted to ask you a personal question as I begin to wind up. Do you know that you've seen many people die? I don't want to mention even some of these celebrities here in Ghana. Not long ago, somebody got drowned. The body has not been found today. And some people have died. Have you marked that old way that men have trodden? Have you observed? Has it crossed your mind? Nanu Yabetia, the soul of soul music, Aretha Franklin, we woke up. Nanu Yabetia, others are gone. Cool out. Lord, have you observed? Have you asked, can it happen to me? If it happens, where would my soul be? Now look at the text again. Look at verse 16. Which were cut down out of time. You know what that means? Premature. And you can see it around. And then who? Or is it gone too soon? That's what they put it. Gone too soon. You know, they are cut down out of time. You can see it. Perhaps your friend or your sibling. Perhaps somebody you know. Perhaps somebody you are older than, you can see it and you say, gone too soon. Have you thought about these things? Have you marked that old way the wicked have trodden? Have you looked at it? Let me tell you about something about death. The Bible says, the end of a righteous man is peace. And the Bible says, and I can tell you more about this another time, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know what? It doesn't matter. His soul is at peace. Even his martyred, and I'm happy the women are going to talk about that on Tuesday. Women who were martyred. Alright, even if it is, they were martyred, their souls were at peace with the Lord. They have nothing to fear. But have you really thought about these things? Do you think life is all before you and you have many days ahead? Do you think so? Can I tell you something? And I say it with all the passion in me. God, Jesus Christ, have given us another way, a new way. Not an old way, it's a new way. And it begins with himself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the way. There is another way, a new way. This new way is not natural to you and me. It's spiritual. This new way is not me doing it. It's God doing it in me. This new way is not me chasing after things. It is God using me for his glory. New way, not the old way. Crooked men, wicked men have trodden. God have made a new way, a brand new way. And what God has done that he has even made the way for us to enter the way. He's made the way. Why are you crying? The Lord Jesus Christ, he died on the cross of Calvary. He died. And that is God's way to enter into his way. That is his way. It's not the old way. God has made a way of holiness and righteousness. And Jesus Christ is a model. He's a pattern. He's an example. And so I follow him. That's the thing. God has made a new way in Christ. Oh friend, I plead with you, depart from the old ways. It will never help your soul. Depart from those ways of self-pleasing, self-indulgent lifestyle. Depart from the ways of pride and rebellion and unbelief. Turn away from those things. Cling on to the way. Look at the passage. Oh, I love this one. Look at verse 21 and 22 and 23, which we close with. It says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be what? Built up. And thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. You know, friend, come to Christ. Speak to him. Leave those old ways, old powers of sin, and stick to the righteous way. Those old powers of sin, that broad way, lead you into destruction. A sinful, promiscuous, immoral, hateful, hypocritical, mere profession of religion, that lifestyle will damn your soul. Come to Christ. Turn to him and pray forgiveness, and you will be on that way. New way. Let's pray together. O Lord, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, be merciful. Grant us grace. Bless us indeed, that we may have the strength and the will to turn from sin and to seek the Lord. Come, O Lord, our God, and bless every seeking soul and every convicted heart in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for his sake. Amen.